Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Luis García, and you're listening to La Liga Lowdown.
Hi, I'm Pablo Machin. This is La Liga Lowdown.
And I'm David Garrido. Hi, everyone. Welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Reda Sakhanov and broadcast on SiriusXM FC 157 in North America as we recap match day 9, another eventful weekend in Spain's top division, especially at the top. Plenty to get through, so here's what's on the way in the next half hour. Barcelona now face a Clásico without Messi, despite their 4-2 win at home to Sevilla. Román was there.
I'm not exaggerating when I say that the Camp Nou looked like a funeral. At first, it seemed like a normal, intimidating foul, but after a bit, you could see Messi was in pain.
For Real Madrid, it's a fifth game without a win now in all competitions, losing at home to Levante. Here's Ewan.
I think there are a lot of problems, but I think the most troubling one is a lack of motivation. They're slacking, and the fact that Sergio Ramos was allowed to turn up a day late for pre-season training is just one example where the wrong tone was set.
Another day, another draw for Valencia. A Paco watched them squeak a point against Leganés at Mestalla.
The fact is that Valencia have gotten better at defending, but they are still unable to score. There's no way they get to top level without their strikers increasing their accuracy.
And Athletic Club continue to struggle as they come back to draw at Eibar. Alex gives us her take.
Berisso can't afford to start losing the trust of his players. Otherwise, it will be game over. The clock is ticking and results need to start arriving.
Plus, a Partidazo predictions update. That's all coming up. So, Barcelona fans, how are you feeling? Admittedly, it was a frenetic start to their game against Sevilla on Saturday at the Camp Nou. Lionel Messi had already assisted the opener for Philippe Coutinho on just 2 minutes, and then 10 minutes later...
Leo Messi in a bit of space. Messi gets it onto his left foot, and you know there's only one answer when that happens, and it is a goal for Barcelona, a goal for Leo Messi.
But then literally moments after that...
Messi making life difficult for Arana, picks up a knock. Messi down, holding on to that right elbow. He's patently in huge pain.
Yes, this looked pretty serious.
They're checking to see if there's been a fracture. You can see the doctor. People who care about this Catalan club are holding their breath right now.
And he couldn't continue.
And the applause is for Leo Messi as he makes his way towards the tunnel and chance of Messi ring around the ground. I have to say, in the long run, I think this has to be a sensible decision.
So that's how those moments of real contrasting emotion went down on 11 Sports in the UK. And sadly, it's the injury to Lionel Messi which has dominated the headlines now that Barcelona are into such a crucial trio of games. Messi is out for approximately 3 weeks after fracturing the radial bone in his right arm. So obviously that means the Inter Milan game on Wednesday in the Champions League and also El Clásico on Sunday afternoon, as well as probably four more fixtures heading into the next international break. Messi had already made his impact on this game. That goal against Sevilla was his 32nd against this particular opponent, but his departure from the pitch gave the visitors hope at the Camp Nou. Guillermo Arana rattled the post with a fierce shot, and it took a Luis Suarez penalty for 3-0 after the Uruguayan had been upended by Thomas Vatchelik for the crowd to feel a little more comfortable. And as much as Ivan Rakitic's volley, with a respectfully understated celebration, was also impressive, you could argue that the more crucial actions were taken by Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. In particular, a couple of double saves from Andre Silva and Paco Vázquez to stop Sevilla getting back to 2-1, and then from Pablo Sarabia and Ben Yedder to avoid the 3-2. It took a deflected strike from Sarabia to beat him, and then Luis Muriel right at the very end. But Barcelona go back top of the table courtesy of this 4-2 victory. Still, of course, it was Messi's injury which was the big talking point. And let's hear from La Liga Lowdown's Román Derquer on this one. Román, you're based in Barcelona. You were there at the Camp Nou. Just describe the scenes around you issue as Messi got injured.
In our recent YouTube chat with Lee Roden, we actually talked about the Messi dependence and how important he is for the team. And then this happens. I was at the stadium, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that the Camp Nou looked like a funeral. At first it seemed like a normal intimidating foul, but after a bit you could see Messi was in pain. He's not your classic flopper who stumbles on the floor complaining, to then get up a few seconds later and as if nothing had happened. Messi is quite noble in this sense, so when you could see he wasn't getting up, people could smell the bad news. In an article by local journalist Tony Padilla, he described really well the people's reaction by saying, "Younger culés stopped checking their phones. Elderly fans left their radio devices aside, and security members who have to look at the stands couldn't avoid a quick peek at Messi." This comes to prove how important Messi is to the fans and the club.
And with more crucial games on the way, it's of course the worst time for Barca to be without their talisman. How do you feel it will affect Ernesto Valverde's tactics going forward?
To be honest, I don't think Valverde is going to change much. Against Sevilla, he brought Dembele on for the injured Messi, and the formation was pretty similar to what it had been. Obviously, Messi and Dembele are very different players. The Argentinian is incredibly creative and can handle receiving the ball in tight spaces, whereas Dembele needs a lot of space to run freely and provide crosses. So I'm guessing Coutinho could take on a similar role to Messi, connecting Barca's midfield and offence by filtering passes and trying his brilliant long-distance shots. He's probably the closest we have to Messi, but it's important to keep in mind that Messi is unique and it's impossible to replace him, no matter what Valverde tries. The team as a whole will have to step up and prove it can still compete at a very best level without their captain.
Thanks, Roman. We now have a Clásico in prospect without Lionel Messi and, of course, without Cristiano Ronaldo. It's the first time that's happened since the 23rd of December 2007, so almost 11 years. It's time for someone else to stand up and take the spotlight. Well, this Barcelona game was our chosen match on Partidazo Predictions, and that Luis Muriel consolation meant that Ewan McTeer was cruelly denied all 3 points, so instead he gets just one for getting the result right. Likewise, Roman and Paco Bolit, while Alex Johnson and myself get nothing. Here's the table then. Ewan and Paco have 9 points, Roman has 5, Alex and myself have 4 points. To the continuing saga that is Real Madrid and a genuine crisis which is developing at the Estadio Bernabeu. They went into the international break with an embarrassing 1-0 defeat at Alaves, while they've come out of it with an arguably more shameful loss at home to Levante by 2-1. And the visitors' goals came inside the first quarter of an hour. First, a Sergio Postigo ball over the top, controlled delightfully by the Levante captain, José Luis Morales, who was excellent throughout, to take him away from Thibaut Courtois and guide the ball home. Poor defending there from Rafael Varane. And then a penalty was given by the VAR after a Varane handball. Roger Martí beat Courtois, and suddenly the white hankies were out and the boos were ringing around the Bernabeu. The drama continued, VAR ruling out a Marco Asensio goal. Casemiro and Mariano hit the bar. After half-time, the changes. Gareth Bale on for Álvaro Odriozola, but no immediate impact. And by the time that Karim Benzema and Dani Ceballos came on, Madrid had set a new all-time club record for minutes without scoring. The drought eventually ended at 8 hours, with Marcelo smashing a right foot shot past the Levante keeper Oyer, who was also superb. Benzema, who had revived Madrid, then saw his rasping curling effort come back off the post, and there was still time for yet more late drama. Mariano's effort ruled out for offside, Oyer keeping out a Benzema header. Levante held out, 1-2 the final score. So, Lopetegui out? The run without scoring might be over, but the run without winning goes on. It's now 5 games in all competitions without victory, the last 3 of which all defeats. 5 games without a win hasn't happened since the end of the 2008-09 season, when Madrid lost 5 in a row. The pressure is mounting on the ex-Spain boss. Is he on the brink? Well, let's get the thoughts of our man in Madrid, Ewan McTeer. Ewan, we can't just blame it on the injuries anymore, because Madrid had the international break to recover a lot of their players, and everyone except Dani Carvajal was available for this game. So how do you explain what is happening at the club?
Okay, David, if we look solely at the Levante game, this was a weird result. Real Madrid had 33 total shots, 12 of them on target, compared to the 6 total shots and 2 on target of Levante. As Marcelo put it, the ball just didn't want to go in. This was just a fluke day when God happened to have Levante on its coupon. The problem, though, is that we're all viewing this game through the context of the 4 previous ones, where they hadn't scored and hadn't won. I think there are a lot of problems. You mentioned injuries, and a couple of weeks ago that was one of the issues, but I think the most troubling one is a lack of motivation. They're slacking, and the fact that Sergio Ramos was allowed to turn up a day late for pre-season training is just one example where the wrong tone was mindset. It does make sense. I mean, these guys have won 3 Champions Leagues in a row, but it does mean that there's a lack of urgency in their play. And I think it's telling that this La Liga season, they've scored 4 first half goals and conceded 8 while scoring 9 in the second halves and conceding just 1.
Cheers, Ewan, and more from him later. Meanwhile, the other big club in Madrid were over in the Valencian community, hoping to take their chance to go top later on Saturday. But they didn't make the most, again, failing to beat Villarreal away. Their game finished 1-1. And like Oyer at the Bernabeu, Jan Oblak was Atleti's hero at the Estadio de la Cerámica. Both goals came from fullbacks, randomly enough, in the second half. First, Felipe Luis with a header after José Ramiro Funes Mori had diverted a floated free kick into the box onto his own crossbar. The equaliser came from Mario Gaspar, a scrappy effort when Atleti failed to clear their lines, and a shot deflected off Alfonso Pedraza to Mario, who managed to beat Oblak. But Atletico's heroic keeper really proved his undoubted worth. He denied Gerard Moreno when he was one-on-one with the Slovakian after that, or indeed Carlos Bacca, who suffered a hamstring injury. Also confusing here was one of the changes at half-time. Now, substituting Nikola Kalinic for Angel Correa might have made sense, but switching Rodri for Thomas Lemar? Atletico lost their midfield balance and the chance to go top. They needed Oblak to save them from what would have been a 5th defeat in 7 meetings against Villarreal. And it could have been so different when Atletico had taken the lead. Normally, they can protect it. But Koke said they went backwards after scoring, and José Jiménez said that they didn't know how to manage the match. A draw will have to do. Diego Simeone says the point is a good one, as the league is brutally competitive this season. Now, a decent illustration of that was Alaves winning yet again and going top on Friday night. Now, admittedly, they were taking on a Celta Vigo team fairly devoid of identity and playing style, but Alaves were content to surrender the ball, knowing that Celta didn't really have much cutting edge, especially without the injured Maxi Gomez. Now, of course, Iago Aspas is always a threat, but Fernando Pacheco, another standout keeper this season, beat out his free kick. The goal itself was simple enough, a deep diagonal ball from Rubén Duarte, which Junior Alonso just watched and failed to defend. Victor Laguardia hooked his right foot around it to centre it, and Tomas Pina pounced to turn it home. After Pacheco saved again, this time from Sofian Bufal, well, Alaves could have actually had a second goal. Ibai Gomez, always a danger, with the outside of his right boot, with an effort which Sergio Alvarez had to tip onto his own bar. But 1-0 Alaves, it finished. Now, Alex Johnson was at this game at Balaidos for La Liga Lowdown. Alex, we've spoken before about Alaves and how their team have shot La Liga with their super start, but what about Celta Vigo? Because they're winless in 6. So what is going on there, and how much pressure is there now on Antonio Mohamed?
Well, the pressure on Antonio Mohamed from the fans is huge. Friday was the first time where I've been to Balaidos and heard the fans whistle the team at full time. He's too old school in his coaching, and he's not even preparing for the specific matches in training. And what makes it even more frustrating for the supporters is that you can see the quality and individual brilliance these players possess, and many of them are individually performing, especially Iago Aspas and also teenage midfielder Fran Beltran. But there is no style of play, no strategy. Everyone is just on their own. However, we should still expect Mohamed to stay a bit longer, because as he said on Friday, it's up to the board and I will work until they tell me not to anymore. And that board, more precisely, the president, Carlos Mourinho, has never sacked a boss in season in the last 5 years. And he's likely Antonio Mohamed's only fan in Vigo at the moment. Mourinho got great links to Mexico, which is where he found the Celta boss. This is his man, and a lot will need to happen for him to sack him.
Cheers, Alex. We'll also hear from Alex again in the second part of this mini pod. So, Barcelona top, Alaves third, sandwiched in between them are Espanyol, a team who have been perfect at home this season. But on Sunday, they picked up their first away win of the campaign as well, 2-0 at Huesca, who have a new manager in Francisco. Borja Iglesias spoiled the coach's debut at the Estadio El Alcoraz, and he even had the ball in the back of the net after just 5 minutes, but it was ruled out for offside. Still, it showed that he was in the mood. Despite Huesca then asserting themselves in the first half, Espanyol scored just before the break. Sergio Garcia's superb pass allowed the Didac Villa to set up Borja Iglesias. Really unselfish and a simple goal. And no real intensity from the hosts in the second half, and just after the hour, Moy Gomez lost the ball. Hernan Perez made the most. He picked out Borja, who drove towards goal and dinked the ball over Alexander Jovanovic. Coach Ruiz said that they had their feet on the ground, but that their attitude should be to fight for second place. It's been 21 years since they were last as high as this in the table after 9 league games. But here's the thing. If Espanyol beat Real Valladolid in their next game on Friday night to kick off match day 10, they will go top, if only overnight. We'll take the shortest of breaks now, the other side of which will have the rest of the action from La Liga.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to this La Liga Lowdown mini-pod with Reza Karnov and broadcast in North America on SiriusXM FC 157, where we've discussed all of the top six in action on match day nine in La Liga. And going into the weekend, the game at the Estadio Vitorio Marin was a clash of seventh and eighth. Real Valladolid visited Real Betis and left with all 3 points to make it four wins in a row for the newly promoted side. The first 45 minutes were pretty forgettable for the home side. They failed to penetrate. They failed to register even a single shot on target. But oh, Valladolid did. And it came in the 41st minute. A super touch from Leo Suarez, who is such a talent. A young winger, Tony Villa, then found Antonito, who beat Pau Lopez on the half volley. Betis did improve in the second half. They made changes too, but there was no change to the overall outcome because they just didn't understand how to beat the system. Tactically superb by Sergio Gonzalez. Valladolid's ascent has been based on staying rock solid, not just in defence, but as a team, keeping incredible shape. They have the second best defence in La Liga, behind only and predictably Atletico Madrid. But talking about predictability, how about Betis? Well, they dominated most of the stats. They had 20 shots, but only four on target. They had 62% possession. They attempted more than 700 passes. They had three more corners than Valladolid. And here's another stat. They're the team who scored the fewest goals in La Liga. Five in nine games. That's fewer than all of the teams currently in the bottom three, Huesca, Rayo and Leganés. Well, speaking of Rayo, they're involved in the first game on Sunday as they welcomed local rivals Getafe to Vallecas for a Madrid derby. A bit too generous a welcome, it would appear, as Pepe Bordalas' side came away with all 3 points, having totally imposed their style on the encounter. Forget the first half, really not much happened at all. And then three goals in the space of 10 minutes. The first from Dimitri Fouquier, a header from a Vitorio Antunes cross. He out-jumped debutant and young left-back Cedro Akeme, whose first La Liga game then got worse 4 minutes later with an own goal. He diverted Jorge Molina's ball past his own keeper, Alberto Garcia, with Jaime Mata ready to pounce. Game not over yet, though, as Akimi atoned at least partly by setting up Raul de Tomas for 1-2, his third goal in as many home games since joining on loan from Real Madrid. But in the remaining 15 minutes, this game broke down completely, with eight more yellow cards, one red, if in doubt, ruined the momentum and the rhythm of the game to guarantee the result. It's certainly not pretty, it's kind of effective, it's just the Getafe way. In attendance on a Sunday lunchtime at Vallecas was our Ewan McTeer, who gave his verdict on the 90 minutes.
This was prime Getafe. They're as physical as an ice hockey team and as conniving as a season of Desperate Housewives. Once they have a lead, they don't let it go, and they infuriated the home fans with their time wasting and play acting. I swear, I even saw the team doctor wave an imaginary yellow card at one point, calling for a booking. I'm not even joking. They're experts in complaining and making the game dirty, Rayo winger and Barber said afterwards. And he has a point. But what matters is that Getafe held on for the win and that Rayo are left in a bit of a mess, with just 5 points from 8 games. Michel, the coach, is under immense pressure. Nobody has spoken to me about my future at this moment, he said after the game. I suspect they might have a word soon, because this Rayo squad is talented, with guys like Raul de Tomas, Imbula, Advincula, Kakuta, Alvaro Garcia, They just need a better attacking structure.
So Rayo, second bottom on 5 points. Are the fans worried? You bet they are.
There's not enough quality in the squad, and then there's so many injuries, suspensions, rotations, that every week is a different lineup, and then the team never settles, and we just can't find the consistency.
I think they just don't have the quality to be in first division right now. Defense is not stable. Planning during the summer was awful. It's mostly because of the board. I think that they're going to get relegated this season.
From one derby to another, as we headed to the Basque Country for Eibar against Athletic Club, who are suffering right now. A 1-1 draw at Eriburua means that they haven't won since the opening day, and you've got to even question whether they were even good value for a point in this one. The first goal came courtesy of VAR. Iñigo Martinez fouled Sergio Enrich in the box. Jadales scored the resulting penalty on 17 minutes, sending Iago Herrerin the wrong way. Athletic went route one for their equaliser 4 minutes later. A long ball forward, the slightest of flicks from Aritz Aduriz, a little nod from Raul Garcia, and then Iñaki Williams latched on and beat Asier Riesgo at his near post. Eibar dominated the game after that, Herrerin denying Fabian Orellana and Joan Dordan in quick succession, and also tipping an Ivan Ramis header over the bar. But despite a couple of Mikel San Jose chances after that, Athletic Club were poor. Let's check back in with Alex Johnson here. Alex, Dodo Berizzo conceded their worst performance of the season, so where does the fault lie?
This might sound a bit crazy, but I think we should still be patient with Eduardo Berizzo. Athletic knew when they hired him that it would take time, that it's a long-term project, and getting everything in place won't just happen overnight. That said, the match against Eibar raises a few alarms. Even if the results were missing before the trip to Eporua, the performance had been improving. But against Eibar, we saw a huge step backwards. Berizzo played Muñain and Unai Lopez in midfield in an attempt to circulate the ball and attack, but it completely failed, and Muñain ended up being isolated for most of the match before leaving the pitch furious, and his reaction, knocking a bottle out of the hands of one of the coaching staff, is a big concern, because Berizzo can't afford to start losing the trust of his players, otherwise it will be game over. The clock is ticking and results need to start arriving.
Thank you, Alex. Well, Valencia fans might be finding watching the team pretty difficult so far this season. It is draw after draw after draw. It was no different on Saturday. They were held 1-1 by Leganés at home in the rain. Really not much to report in the first half here either, but there was awful defending early in the second as Ezequiel Garay kicked Oscar Rodriguez, which led to a VAR penalty. Gerard Gumbau set Neto the wrong way for Lega's opener. Valencia then tried to lay siege to the away goal, Daniel Vaz side-footing over the bar, and eventually Dani Parejo laying off to Jose Gaya to fire a shot deflected off Juanfran and over Pichu Cuellar for the equaliser on 85 minutes. Kevin Gameiro also nicked a Parejo ball through past Cuellar, but it was cleared off the line and it finished honours even for Valencia's seventh draw in 9 league games this season against an opponent who didn't even want to attack. Frustrating is putting it mildly for Los Che. Paco Bolit was huddled under his umbrella at Mestalla. Paco, how concerning is this now for Valencia, and what exactly isn't working for Marcelino?
Well, the truth is it was a nasty game to play, with sun at the beginning and then lots of rain pouring down. But the gota fría isn't the one to blame for Valencia's poor start of season. The fact is that Valencia have gotten better at defending, but they are still unable to score. There's no way they get to top level without their strikers increasing their accuracy. Marcelino was very angry in this sense after the game, saying that scoring only 3 times is awful for the 4 forwards this season. Additionally, Valencia played with a 3-5-2 tactic in the second half, but some players such as Daniel Vaz ended dizzy inside the pitch after playing in 3 different positions. Also, don't forget this, the Mestalla fans are having lots of patience. Under any other circumstances, the people would be criticizing heavily the 10 points out of 27 to date. If Valencia don't start winning now, their rivals will be impossible to catch later this season. As you can imagine, Valencianista fans aren't pleased with the current performance of their team.
It's really difficult to understand why after 2 months of competition we cannot win. It's going to be impossible, no, for our strikers to score a goal. I'm really worried about our team, but well, keep going.
Maybe Marcelino needs to step back and analyze what's been going on, what's working, what isn't working. But it's getting really frustrating, not just for me, but for the fans. in the stadium, and I can tell some of the players are getting frustrated as well.
The least eventful game of the entire match day was on Monday night, a mid-table affair between Real Sociedad and Girona. It really felt that way, especially with William José and Cristian Stuani on the bench and not appearing until the second half. Girona's Bono was the busier of the two keepers in this 0-0 draw, denying John Bautista, Mikel Oyarzabal, Ruben Pardo, and he diverted Sandro's effort onto the post twice, so Girona escaped with a point. Real Sociedad still haven't won at home this season in 4 games, and Girona still unbeaten away. Well, this is how the top of the table looks. Barcelona top on 18 points from 9 games. And then Espanyol second and Alaves third with 17 from 9. Sevilla and Atletico fourth and fifth respectively on 16 points from 9 games. And then Real Valladolid are sixth on 15 points from 9 games, ahead of Real Madrid, 14 from 9. At the bottom, Huesca continue to prop up the table on 5 points from 9 games. Second bottom, Rayo also have 5 from 8 games. And then come Leganés with 8 points from 9 games. And Athletic Club still just above the relegation zone with 8 points from 8 games. And they head to Vallecas to play Rayo in that rescheduled game on Wednesday, by the way. And then come Villarreal, who are 5th bottom on 9 points from 9 games. Well, that's about it for this mini pod. Before we go, just a reminder of where else you can find us on other platforms. So much going on this week with the Champions League, Europa League as well, and Messi's injury, of course, all hell breaking loose at Real Madrid. Well, the best way to keep across all of that is on our Twitter feed. We are at La Liga Lowdown on Twitter. Don't forget, our YouTube channel is worth checking out with the regular videos coming out all the time. youtube.com/c/La Liga Lowdown is the URL for that one, or simply put La Liga Lowdown into your search engine. The website is there too. Check it out, www.laligalowdown.com. And if you like this mini pod, give us a nice 5-star rating. It really does help. That's your La Liga Lowdown. We'll see you next time.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.